Hey, you're a person that listens to podcasts. How about a new pair of headphones that's worth doing five flips over? Check out our friends at TweakedAudio.com. That's TweakedAudio.com. They've got an amazing selection of headphones, which I use when I do the show, and they'll give you 33% off a new pair of headphones when you use the promo code RHAP. And best of all, they'll ship it to you anywhere in the world for free. Who else is doing that? So check out TweakedAudio.com and enjoy the show. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who likes coleslaw, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our first live Amazing Race recap of the season. And boy, do we have a good one for you guys. We're here on a Tuesday night. Typically, we'll be on a Monday night, the day after the race. But we have a very special show tonight as we are going along here on Premier Week on CBS. And first, let me introduce you to my co-host. You know her, Jessica Lease. Jessica, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great as usual, Rob.
As usual, of course.
Extra great because it's podcast night.
Extra great, and extra great because we have two guests here tonight, which I'm going to say are Amazing Race royalty. Here they are from the great state of Hawaii. It's Team Guido, Joe and Bill.
It's Queen Elizabeth and Princess Margaret.
Yes, guys, how are you doing?
One of them is dead. Well, two old queens anyway. We're doing great. Thanks for inviting us.
All right. Well, and you guys were original.
Like I said, it's much easier to fax.
All right, but you guys don't like the Google Hangouts?
Oh, we love it now. Yeah. I've never seen one. all my Hangouts we can't talk about.
All right, good. Now you guys were original Amazing Race All-Stars. You guys were the OGs. Yes. Why are they allowed to call this Amazing Race All-Stars?
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, it's a very good question.
It's some all-stars. Yeah. Not all-stars, because we do whatever Survivor does all-stars.
Good, you got to keep pace.
And I'm sorry. I mean, I feel... Yep. Yep. And also the hybrid thing came into this one for different reasons than our season, but I don't like that at all when they start mixing and matching. And I feel bad that he wasn't able to join this group because it really is a fun experience, second, third time, whatever it is.
All right, well, too far down into that, let me just set up everything here
all
tonight.
All right.
Let me set the table a little bit here. All right.
So, I appreciate your enthusiasm.
Good. We're gonna jump right into it. So let me just set up here that, of course, we have the chat room here live. We're taking your questions. Jessica Frey is monitoring that. If you want to get your questions into the show, use the hashtag RHAP. We want to get lots of questions for Team Guido. And, of course, you can post your questions on the YouTube channel, also at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Okay, so tell us, Team Guido, why are you so upset to see Bopper leave the race? Were you guys big Bopper fans?
No, what I meant about hybrid teams is it's just tough when you try to mix and match teams that, you know, fans watch for a reason. Now, I know there's lots of fans of that team. They were great. They're the guys in the Kentucky team, they're really, really nice guys. But when you start mixing and matching with, like, Mallory, you can already see that sort of unraveling because they're not really meant to be together. Just like in our All-Star season, there was the guys that won.
Yeah, Eric and what's her name?
Whatever her name
Danielle.
Was. Danielle, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Eric and what's her name?
I mean, if there wasn't a mismatched team there, I don't know what was. I mean, yeah. Half of it wasn't shown on the show, but it gets into a whole different dynamic, that's all.
So do you guys feel like that there is a precedent now that Mark and Mallory should be the favorite to win because that's what's happened before in the past?
No, we both have our favorites. I want to see the father and son, Connor, and I forget his dad's name on my list.
David here. And Connor.
Yeah, David and Connor. Yeah, I love them.
I was real big on Nadia and Natalie and Nadia, but obviously they didn't do very well. But they were the most Guido-ish.
They're real snarky. We like them.
Yeah, so I was really hoping that they would win. So there you go. It's like the kiss of the Guidos.
Now, Joe,
you're out first.
Joe or Bill, Now, were either of you guys tabbed as alternates? Where did CBS contact either of you to run the race with Mark?
I wish.
Yeah, no, that would be fine, but it didn't quite happen. But we don't hang out at Cedar Sinai very much either.
And if I told you, I'd have to kill you. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I'd love to hear just some overall thoughts on the episode from Sunday night.
Well, just, I mean, like our experience, I mean, it shows some lack of preparation. You know, the same stupid mistakes are already happening in the first segment. I mean, you get so amped up, especially when you see people that you haven't raced before. You're almost a little starstruck, like I heard Rachel saying. You know, you see other people, like with me in my season for All Stars, it was the beauty queens. I was a little bit like in awe because I really enjoyed watching them race, so just like a fan would. Because I am a fan, I guess, in a sense. So, you know, that was my perspective. But go ahead.
And you get a little freaked out because everybody has done it. For our season, everybody did it once before. Now everybody's done it, seems almost like twice before.
And these are
not normal racers. I mean, the people who have come on fresh to the show kind of make all the same mistakes over and over again. And quite frankly, it's kind of easy to compete against them if you've already done that and been there before. Funny that these people are also making kind of like the same mistakes of getting too hyper, trying to jump ahead of themselves. The hardest part is trying to make good decisions with very little input, and they're not making very good decisions the second and third time around. You know, a la the wedding dress alley.
Oh my God! You know that was interesting.
A real mess.
Yeah, the smart teams, which was a thing we invented, not me personally or Joe, but in the first season, two or three teams in China where none of us spoke the language grabbed what we called, you know, quotation marks, a fern that took us around. You know, she helped us, you know, find our way around the night market.
And I can't believe more people. My impression is they're not allowed to do that anymore.
Well, you to a certain extent. You can't get in cars. I mean, I mean, well, why you don't want to do it is because you have to fill out a lot of paperwork when you do that. You have to get their permission to be on TV, and so when you do choose to talk to someone, you're really slowing your team down. So it is better to see if you can just get information on the fly rather than talking to somebody that you have to drag into your paperwork thing, because it really slows you down. It's like 10-15 minutes of paperwork.
Now, is that why they didn't do that sooner, the 20s, before they finally got somebody to show them where to go?
Yeah, could be, because anytime.
So.
Yeah, because you roll down your cab and you even ask somebody on the street, you have to stop and get a release.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's
and occasionally you'll see somebody that was on the screen, was like fundamental, but that did not give their authorization for a release. So then they'll get fogged out if they really have to show it. Otherwise, you just don't use it. And that's not aired.
Yeah, you don't want to slow your progress down. So I think as long as that's still allowed, I think it is, just from that what I could see from that first episode, it is a good tool to use when you're really in a bind. And if I were the 20s, I would have been doing that big time, because it doesn't look like they did to get on track with that dress thing.
Yeah, it seemed like they were so focused on what each other was doing that they didn't register.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb. And you let your emotions and your nerves and your adrenaline just get the better of you, so you can see them just arguing with one another and screaming and shouting and not focusing on what they do. Or even when you're doing something wrong, you know, you have to be supportive of the other person and calm them down and get back on track, rather than pointing fingers and screaming and using bad language.
Which is why they get put on the show in the first place.
Which is the stuff you want to do with other teams, not with your partner.
Yeah.
Well, I remember you guys being exceptional at that. Like, I never saw you guys screaming at each other.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't do any good. And we decided early on that, you know, other teams could do what they will. And, you know, that was one of the reasons why in the flight from Africa back to Paris, we decided, unlike Survivor, this was a game of solitaire. You know, you as a team, you just need to go out on your own, figure it out, and move forward. And because you can't drag two or three other teams along, it slows you down way too much. Yeah. Plus, you're giving $1 million to potentially to the someone that's following you. That's stupid.
The only opportunity that you have to influence the race is to pull along some very weak teams along with you, thinking that you're just going to cream them in the last episode. And it doesn't always work, a.k.a. Rachel on Big Brother.
Go ahead, just cream them, Joe.
I just cream them, you know. So as a result, we just decided to go on our own after we had made an alliance with Rob and Brennan and Frank and Margarita, and just saying this is, working with six people is just too difficult, and nobody can make a decision, and everybody wants to go off marching into a different direction, and it's hard enough working with another person, let alone working with five other people.
Yeah.
And you can remember the Asian guys from San Francisco, probably this is Amazing Race 6 or 7, and there was a black girl couple and somebody else, and they were kind of trailing them along and helping them out and doing all this other stuff. And, and the two Asian guys, they were doing all the work, and they got eliminated earlier. And
yeah, that was season 10, I think.
Final three.
Yeah.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Exactly right. So they kind of missed out on a big paycheck there.
Yeah. All right, so I want to take some questions too as we go along here. Zachary Zarnett Klein wants to know, what is the secret to the Guidos relationship that has enabled them to stay together while so many other race couples split up later on? And I feel like that's an epidemic of these race couples that split up.
Really?
It has. Yes. Well, we had already been together. Joe and I had already been together for 14 years when we did the race. On the way to our first interview, which, Rob, I'm sure it was with the same hotel at the same time there in Santa Monica where we had our first interview.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way into that hotel to meet with Lynn, a CBS person that interviewed us. And we said it just wasn't worth $1 million if it was going to cause a problem with our relationship. And we were really honest about that. We talked about a lot of stuff that we really hadn't ever touched on. So we just came up with a plan that of – what was important, what wasn't, and we figured out a way to make it through the race without... Well, first of all, it doesn't do any good to fight on the race. I mean, that's the last thing you want to do with your partner. It doesn't matter what else you chaos you cause during the race, but for us, it was pretty important, and it's worked. And now we're 27 years.
Best friends and truly love one another. And our big claim to fame also is that we were the very first gay couple ever on American television, real live gay couple.
Yeah.
Up until then, you'd had a couple of gay people, singles, and you've had a couple of phony sitcom couples that usually were played by straight guys. So we were a little bit of pioneers way back in 2001, before marriage equality and everything else came about, of really trying to present an image, which was our reality, of two men can really have a long-term loving relationship just like anybody else. And we weren't going to let the Amazing Race screw that up.
Have you heard?
Thank you, darling.
Have you heard any stories from people who have said to you that you impacted their real lives, whether it was them coming out or them being able to, try to get married or anything like that from watching you guys?
Yeah, early on, way back in 2002, 2003, we were talking to people, especially a couple of high school kids in Pennsylvania that were kind of on the verge of getting thrown out of their houses because their family couldn't handle that they were gay. And hopefully we kind of settled them down and had some kind of positive impact of just accepting it. And, you know, there's a thing of it gets better a couple years ago, and it does, especially if you're a teenager or early 20s and stuff. And it's much more of an acceptable lifestyle.
Yeah,
these days.
And we put kids in touch with help groups in their own areas so they could get continuing help. And we stayed in touch with them, but then we put them in touch with professionals. So we made sure that there was a continuity and the kind of attention they were getting.
So
it happens. We just don't talk a lot about it because it's really private. You know, that those lives are it's very touching.
Yeah.
It is really amazing.
It's really good.
How far, you know, the discussion about gay rights has even come since from 2001 to 2014. Yeah. Oh. It really is like that night and day. To go, you know, in just 13 years, which in a lot of ways feels like it went by very fast. It really is. We're light years, I feel like, away from where we were in 2001.
Oh, yeah. In season one, we were in Italy, and after we hugged each other and kissed, we didn't even think about it. We just, it was very us. We just were happy that we came in where we did, where we placed, third or fourth or something. Yeah. And right afterwards, somebody, we're not going to say who, but somebody rushed right up to us and said, guys, you can't do that. Yeah. It's our advertisers, our public, they're not going to accept men kissing.
Yeah, don't do that on camera because we can't use that footage now.
So you know, that's so just, okay. And then when we got into All Stars, boy, was it a different thing. Yeah. I mean, by then there'd been everybody after us, you know, it was like, wow, it was totally different. We hugged and kissed all we wanted. But
and one of our cameramen from Amazing Race 1 was personally responsible for the movie Marriage Equality, all about the Massachusetts law back in 2004, 2005.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely fundamental to the progress of that was made in Massachusetts, the first state. Yeah. So it was really, really cool that he really took this up. And he was a straight guy.
Yeah, we really congratulate CBS for being out there in front because they took a big leap when they cast us.
Yeah, we were told early on by the psychologist or the psychiatrist interviewing everybody long before we ever got selected for the race that if CBS had enough courage to put two gay men on the show, we were shoo-ins to get selected. 11 out of 22 potential couples at the time. And if they did not have enough courage, if we did not get on the show, that's probably the reason why, is that they just really weren't ready to promote something like that or to view something like that. And it's really kudos to CBS and Les Moonves in particular, that he really did have a lot of courage and he just kind of made the leap of faith with Bill and me. And we were selected right on.
Yeah, we actually had an interview with Les too before on the phone interview.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I'm not sure if he still does it now, but way back when, you know, he wanted to see everybody. Let me ask you a question.
He'd probably have to get involved if he's going to put us on again.
let's go back to the episode. Here's a question from Anthony S., who wants to know, for Joe and Bill, if you guys won the Double Express Pass, who would you give it to and why? So there's a question going into the next episode.
It depends on who we're racing. So you want to know from this show?
This show. If you were in Jet and Cord's place, who would you give the Express Pass to? Would it be a strong team or a weak team or a specific team?
A weak team is what I would do. Would be giving it to a weak team.
I would think you'd always give it to a weak team that you're convinced that you can beat at the end.
And it would have to be tempered with a team you can trust too, because you don't want them to turn around and backstab you too by, you know, later on in the game where they might double U-turn you too. So you'd have to be there in the moment and weigh all of that. Maybe get in your promise of them not to do that. I don't know how you would do that, but you know, it really, when you're in the race, you can kind of get a sense on where you stand.
For example, Jet and Cord, say, giving it to the Afghanibles would probably be helping to slit their own throats. Okay? But taking a chance of naming somebody, maybe giving it to the country singers or somebody else that can, you know, help them along.
Yeah.
But you're not expecting them to get all the way to the end sort of thing.
No. Yeah, because trying to do is...
No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, what you're really trying to do is always position yourself and not get in a situation, and this is unlike our first season. The first season was so different than all of this. There's too many machinations now that where you can get booted, and you've got to be careful that you don't ruffle any feathers, and that wasn't the case for the first season. It was just flat out, you're on your own, and may the best man win. Now it's you really have not only bad cab drivers or bad directions or something going wrong, missing a flight, but you have all these other personal dynamics going on.
Yeah.
It's a much more social game than it was, I feel like.
In the Amazing Race 1, we used to take great pride in ruffling everybody's feathers.
I remember. It made you guys the villains, and now people, like, I rewatched season 1, and I'm thinking, these guys were the big villains?
Well, you know, if you're in reality, we didn't do anything more villainous than anybody else on that show. It's just that we just got typecast early on.
We were the first
ones.
I
always used to say, the camera never lies, but editing tells its own story. And it was also kind of curious that CBS had the courage to put two gay men on the first Amazing Race. But then turn them into villains too, rather than make us little sweethearts. So everybody would love us.
Which if you watch the first two episodes, the editing was very much that way, because they used us to piss off Frank. If you look at the first couple episodes, we were like a thorn in Frank's side.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but you know, a stiff breeze would piss off Frank. That guy was kind of strong.
And a stiff breeze would knock him over too.
Oh, he was fun to race with. Yeah.
But you know, by episode 4 or 5, everybody was stealing cabs from one another, and they were practically getting into fist fights, and you know, even the grandparents were as aggressive as anybody else. God bless them. And you know, so it was like every man for himself, every team for themselves.
All right, let's take a few more questions from Mr. X. He wants to know. Were you disappointed by the lack of rickshaw races in this season's trip to China?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, that was a tempest in a teapot. You know, that race in our – are you talking about season one then, I guess?
Yeah,
that really wasn't as long and as arduous as it looked. I felt sorry for the guys, actually, that were – towing the frat boys, because man,
everybody's kind of slim in this season, so they probably wouldn't fall too far behind.
Yeah.
But every time we had to go uphill, Kevin and Drew would fall about 50 yards behind us, and every time we went downhill, the physics of momentum would leave us in the dust. But luckily, the whole thing was only maybe a couple football fields long.
Yeah, it was short. It was very short.
So it really didn't make that much difference.
It was fun, though. It really was fun.
And it was totally, totally nerve-wracking.
Yeah, and then, of course, everything was closed. The minute we got to the destination, we just opened an envelope and went to bed.
You're absolutely convinced that, you know, when you get to the front doors of the supermarket or whatever, this fish market, you know, you're going to get eliminated or whatever, and it wasn't that way at all. Which is the beauty of The Amazing Race, because you never know what's going to happen. And you're always trying to second-guess constantly what they're going to do next so that you have a leg up on everybody else, and it's always wrong.
Yeah.
It seems like it's very hard to strike that balance of thinking hard enough about something versus totally overthinking it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and they want that. They're always throwing curveballs at you and intimating in ways you know, in clues and things where they're trying to stir the pot, always, always, always.
When we were in Beekner in this beautiful Rajasthan palace or whatever for like 24 hours, I was totally consumed with trying to figure out where we're going to go next and convince myself that we're going to go to Kathmandu. So I had checked out all the ways of getting to Kathmandu, whereas everybody else, all they had to do is just figure out how they're going to get a cab to get the hell out of here. And as a result, when we finally got the clue, everybody, we're not going to Kathmandu, and everybody else already had their cabs arranged, and we had to start screaming and hollering at the last minute to have the front desk of people get us a cab just like they got one for Emily and Nancy to catch up and catch a bus.
And meanwhile, it's been 23 more seasons, and they still haven't gone to Kathmandu.
They still haven't gone to Kathmandu.
Or Antarctica. That's another
one. That was another one that we all figured out we were going to go to Antarctica.
During All-Stars.
We were in Chile in All-Stars, and we did not go there either.
Okay, let's go to another question. This is from Mr. X once again. I mentioned this to Jessica, but I would love to know what the Guidos think of the whole idea of Margie as the bionic woman, considering they were an older team on both of their seasons. Well, I hope.
Hey.
God bless her.
Yeah, we're the gay grandpas. We get it.
It's worth pointing out, you guys look exactly the same as you did 14 years ago.
Well, that's...
Well, we've had a little help.
I was going to say that's not without help from our plastic surgeon in Salt Lake.
Dr. Thomas, shout out to Dr. Thomas.
We spent our winnings wisely.
Fantastic.
We're the only team that's actually going to turn back time.
Yeah. Bertram, when we came in for All Stars, Bertram took me aside and goes, "You guys look fantastic." And I went, "Okay, do you want his number, Bertram?"
Margie actually is doing. She's the same age. She's 56. She's the same age as I was on All Stars, and I was the oldest person. So if she hangs in there, she's going to be doing real good. And she did real good on going up these wires and doing backflips and everything else. I'm real proud of her. I think she's doing well. I think she's going to do well.
Yeah, they're a team that works really well together. They just, as long as Luke stays in the present and doesn't get freaked out, which, you know, it's hard not to do, but they should move on into the deep end of the game.
We should all have such good relationships with our parents.
Wow. Yeah.
Believe me.
Who would have done that roadblock for you guys up in, with the up on the wire?
Oh, I would have done it because I'm much lighter on my feet.
Yeah, you know, we tried to do the, when we were on All-Stars, we tried to trade off. And, you know, the first season I would have, because I really have a huge fear of heights, like jumping off Batoka Gorge in the first season was like a real life changer for me because I would get butterflies in my stomach when I took an elevator ride. And so I had to jump off that cliff, and that was when I decided that, okay, nothing's going to stop me in life, and it really changed my life. That the very first day of the first season.
And after 14 years, I never knew he was afraid of heights. That's when I learned about it.
The equivalent of jumping off a 30-story building. Yeah. So, yeah, but now it's I've gotten over that. I love, like, the adrenaline rush now of it because I never even gave it a chance before. But, yeah, it would have been whoever was next.
Yeah, we had decided that we were just going to trade off roadblocks like that, one after another, unless somebody had to eat something weird. And then it was always going to be me because I can essentially eat anything and I have like no sense of smell versus Bill would like still be stuck in Japan eating natto or something from about 8 seasons ago.
Yeah, why I could never do Survivor in one sentence.
Yeah.
Because of the gross stuff?
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. He would never be. I can't even look at stuff like
that. I have a gag reflex that you just can't imagine.
Oh, no.
It's very difficult to cook.
You've handled it, I guess. I mean, I don't
Yeah, I didn't have to eat too much stuff. I was lucky.
Okay, lucky.
Okay, this is from Zachary Zarnett Klein. He wants to know, can the Guidos tell us about how they felt that night in Poland when they were over a day behind all the other teams and if they thought they could come back from it and beat either Eric and Danielle or Charlotte and Mirna to stay in it?
Well, you know, we really were disheartened at the time, and if we had been a little more focused, like switching cabs and doing things that would have kept us in the mix a little better that night, so we would have been at least a closer time-wise, it might have made a big difference. But, yeah, it was very, very disheartening, and it was all because of the Hajj down in Africa that started that chain of events. And production, to be fair, really level the playing field. It really was still anybody's game. So it was up to just the players in the game to fix it.
And
it
also
was really hard though.
Also, I mean, number one, the game is really fair because you can get a lousy or a crazy cab driver or something can happen to you. And there's really no rectifying situation there, which is what we had in Warsaw.
Yeah.
On top of it all, when you're letting your adrenaline get the best of you, you know that you're last or next to last, and you've got Eric and Danielle in another cab, and all they're doing is following you around because they don't know what they're doing either.
Yeah.
And we were totally obsessed not only with trying to find this statue of somebody that nobody even – no Polish people even knew who he was, let alone where his statue was. And Eric was constantly on our tail, and we couldn't shake him. And lo and behold, they win the thing.
Yeah.
So it's really a credit to the race where, you know, we got eliminated. They came in next to last, and 5 episodes later, they're $1 million richer.
Yeah. So it's really anybody can win the game. I don't care what anybody says, how, you know, bad the race goes. It really is a very fair race. And it's just how you handle it. And that was just not our night. So,
we
were just grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah. There was one point in, what was that? Kilimanjaro, where we were supposed to catch we were supposed to catch a connecting flight from Zanzibar to Poland, and we had to stop in Kilimanjaro or to Frankfurt, and the plane was out there. It was a KLM flight. I will never fly KLM again.
Sorry,
they're out
KLM.
On the tarmac. The doors are still open, but because our flight came in like 20 minutes later, and they've got some pissy rule against the local airline that they would not let us on the flight. And Danielle and I were ringing cowbells and everything else trying to get the pilot's attention. And we had an agreement, she and I, that we were just going to go out there and climb the jetway because it was still attached to the airplane.
And we were outside on the tarmac.
But then Bill pointed out that this was the airport where Colin was almost thrown in jail for doing something similar.
He didn't pay his cab.
Yeah, he didn't pay his cab. So he almost got thrown in jail. Well, I think, well, hell, if he got thrown in jail for not paying his cab, we'll probably get shot to death running up the jetway of an airplane that's just parked there. And she kind of got cold feet, which made me get cold feet. And as a result, we all went to hotels for like 18 hours, yeah. which put us way, way far behind. Yeah.
But as you pointed out, it's
yeah.
still...
And in the end of the day, it really did make a whole hell of a lot of difference because they won.
But it was a disheartening thing. I mean, and I think we let it get to us.
Well, the thing I never understood was it seemed like they edited it to look like you guys were very, very close to not getting eliminated that leg. And yeah. Always wondered how close it really was.
No, that was true at that point. If we had, that's what I was saying. If we had changed cabs like Eric
and Danielle
did, because the problem was we had all the cab drivers at late at night are like from out of the area, because no one that's local wants to work at night. So these people come in from the countryside to do the cab duty at night. And they don't know where anything is. You know, they just look up or they call or, you know, if they have enough money, they have a phone that they can guide you around town. But if we had switched cabs, we might have caught up with them and switched roadblocks also, because we got into that situation in the operating room where we were trying to locate the items with an X-ray.
On the dummy's
And we
should have switched to the other roadblock, which was tuning the piano, which I thought was going to be hard. And now when we saw it, it really actually wasn't very hard at all.
We weren't that far behind, but it was the next day where we were arriving at the castle to check in, where we were pretty darn close, but because it was so delayed eating the sausage, and I think that was done on purpose in a good gameplay by Eric and Danielle. That's why it didn't work out for us, because we had like an hour.
The next night we were all in Krakow. We had cab drivers who were not from Krakow, so they didn't know exactly where they were going, and we had to either go make bagels someplace or go make sausage and eat kielbasa there, and. This is one time where you had to do it with teams. And had we had a faster cab driver, we would have teamed up with the beauty queens who were waiting for us. But our cab driver got lost. So as a result, they teamed up with Myrna and Sharla, and we were stuck with Eric and Danielle. And the one good gameplay that Eric did was he just made believe that he couldn't swallow the sausage, putting us farther and farther behind where that he could eliminate us rather than competing against us any farther. And that's where it all came down, to us getting eliminated.
Yeah, so in a sense, it was pretty close when we arrived at that castle, but not close enough.
Yeah, it should be just, you know, another 20 minutes or a different partner early on in the evening with the beauty queens.
It could have been
and
different.
We would have survived and we would have won.
The happy ending.
I don't know how you came back.
We would be sitting here in a much nicer condo.
I've got a great question that came over Twitter, which I really want to talk to you guys about. So this is from ZachAttack48 on Twitter, and he wants to know, what do the Guidos think of Brenchel taking the dog mascot idea? Now, I don't know if you noticed, Brendan and Rachel have a picture of their dog Benz on their shirt this season. Did you notice this?
No, we didn't, and there will never be a replacement for Team Guido. So next question.
Yes, I didn't even notice it. Who are they? Brenshaws.
Did you guys watch Big Brother? Were you familiar with Brendan and Rachel before the race?
Oh, yes. Of course we were.
To be totally honest, when Rachel won Big Brother, that was the last Big Brother I ever watched.
Oh, no.
And that's honest to God truth. I've never watched another one since.
Oh, my God. Green sequin shorts. Oh, please.
And I love him. I mean, God, he's got a PhD. He's smart. He's good looking. Probably rich.
Okay, just like Joe, understand. Who has 3 degrees. That's a little
wild. He's rich since he married Rachel.
But he's no Rachel.
Exactly. No, you know, bless their hearts. You know, they're wonderful people, I'm sure. But, you know, it's, I wonder what they think of us.
Yeah, probably it's not just, much now.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's, yeah, I.
He can't compete with little Guido, rest of his soul. And we'll show you, and we'll show you Luca at the end of this.
Yeah, at the end.
So we have our own replacement for Guido.
You know, I love them when they were on Big Brother, but I think they're a little bit out of their element on Amazing Race.
And they came in second this week.
Well,
yeah, I know they came in second before.
Yeah, we'll see. she hasn't had a chance for her makeup to run yet. We'll see.
Everybody has their wrong opinion.
Her extensions are in, and she's having fun. So we'll see what goes on later.
Watch it. She may throw wine in your face at the next banquet.
Oh no, Team Guido.
It'll be Chardonnay.
The race isn't fun anymore.
The Amazing Race is fun and good. Yeah.
Yes, right.
We didn't talk about this the other night when Jessica and I did our first talk about this on Sunday night, but did you think it was weird that Brendan is a UCLA student and had a UCLA t-shirt and they started at UCLA? Did you feel like that was an unfair advantage in any way?
No.
I'm a UCLA graduate also, and I've never been to the football stadium, so I don't think it really makes a whole hell of a lot of difference.
Yeah, no. Technically that wasn't the football stadium. That wasn't actually UCLA.
No, I didn't think so. I mean, that UCLA is a huge
stadium. Yeah.
It was their maybe their practice field or something. Or
it was a community college in Valencia.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
So I didn't even think – I saw the shirts and I saw the band, but I didn't think that field was UCLA.
Valencia wasn't even settled when I was at UCLA. It was still orange groves, Valencia oranges.
Don't get us wrong. We like them.
Yeah. So
they're very entertaining.
You know, I know a lot of people want to know this question as well. This is from Klaus. He wants to know, would Team Guido run the race a third time if given the opportunity?
Yes.
Bill is going to run the race a third time even if he isn't given the opportunity.
I'm scanning the permits every day from Los Angeles, you know, the Hollywood permits, you know, for filming.
So. He still reads every night, "Who stole my ox doesn't work," or whatever it is, so that he can just run old races.
No, given the chance.
Of course, he has to do it on his own dime, so it's rather limited.
Yeah, you know, Joe and I always say this. It is so much fun. We love games. We love the competition. We love to travel. It's just like us in a nutshell, which is why we got cast the first time. And we love to travel, and we love to play games.
When we got eliminated in Poland, I said I would do it a third time, even if I was guaranteed of being the first one eliminated the next time. It doesn't matter.
It's so much fun.
Just to give it a try and just to have the adrenaline rush of being on the Amazing Race is worth it in and of itself.
Yeah, you know, it is. It is the best game in the world. You literally rip open those envelopes, and it's like, it's the whole world is at your feet, and the game board is the world.
I mean, it's part of your ear.
I don't know how much you can see of me. That little thing down there is too small. If I'm
That's
fading away,
I can see.
If I'm fading away, I need more wine.
Yeah,
my wine glass is empty.
Yeah. Now, what do you guys think of the three-time racers that we brought back for the first time? These three teams that are competing for time number three.
Yeah, Cowboy Gingers, we understand it's a ratings game there. I mean, that's very smart business to bring them back because they are fan favorites, the Cowboys.
I think they should just give them $1 million and find somebody else. Just let them go on their way.
It's the Rupert syndrome, don't you think, Rob?
I mean, you get tired of watching Rupert and Rob, Boston Rob all the time, don't you?
Well, Rupert went out first this time. He was the first person.
I know, he did.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why they did it. And there's always, with any casting, there's always a backstory reason, you know. And certainly with Jet and Cord, they've done well each time they've raced. Let's see who is.
They've lost
Fly Time and Big Easy, right?
Third.
Yeah.
And they're really likable guys. I don't think you can say a bad thing about them. And Dave and,
Margie and Luke are in third.
Yeah, Margie and Luke. Yeah. I that's pretty obvious too. I think they're very sincere. And who can't love a mother and son kind of thing? And they also cut both ways. I think that's an interesting character. If you look at, you know, their arc, usually they're kind of bitchy and fun to watch and up and down emotionally. So I think there's a lot there. You know, I can understand why all three of those teams were cast.
Can I ask you guys about a couple of the other teams too? This is a couple of the two-timers?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Tell us, what's your take on the Afghanimals? People usually love or hate them.
The girl animals.
Yeah, you know, it's just, it's a love-hate relationship for me. I don't know how Joe feels, but I like their gameplay at times, but then it's a little over the top. I think they're playing too much to the camera.
Yeah.
Keep your mind in the game. I think which is a problem I had with All Stars is you try to create too much drama.
Stick.
Yeah, stick.
They think they're too lovable.
Yeah.
And I don't love them.
Yeah. Joe and I have talked about this. If we ever get on the race again, man, watch out because we're not letting anybody stop us. It's, you know, and I think I get the feeling they're almost doing that. It's like playing too much of the camera. Just keep your mind in the game, guys, or you're not going
to
win.
It did seem like that. Even from last season to this season, it seemed like the Afghanimals became even more aware of the camera the second time around.
Yeah.
It's hard not to. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I'm guilty of that, so I fess up.
But, yes, you are.
But
they also think they're way too clever.
Yeah.
And then they keep congratulating themselves on their cleverness all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can do it, but like, be quiet afterwards, or let us decide whether you're clever or not.
Yeah. Like, let your gameplay speak for itself.
You don't have to keep telling Leo how wonderful you are.
Yeah. It's kind of like if you have to say you are, maybe you're actually not.
Well, they talk about
it. Exactly right. You know, well, I think they were all born under the sign of Leo. Yeah.
They talked about how sexy they were when they got to the mat this week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, we'll see how sexy it is when they're last.
They're no Riken.
Who is? Who is Riken? Yeah.
Well, Bill was when he first started.
No, I was a little bit chunky my first season.
Yeah.
Oh,
now, we haven't talked at all about John and Jessica tonight.
Who?
Let me look at my notes here.
Team Express Pass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Oy vey. Yeah, I agreed with on that. That is incredible. I mean...
Back.
How can you possibly? Well, you're forcing me off the seat. Well, it's like camera hog.
But isn't that big? Crisis.
Okay, so let's see. Well, you're talking. Oh,
Luca wants to come in.
Okay, where's the? Let's see, Luca.
So, again,
would you call yourselves Team Luca?
Yeah.
Actually, I think Luca wants a drink.
No,
yes.
There's a dog.
So this is a replacement for Guido, not whatever Brendan and Rachel have.
Yeah, but. But getting back to John and Jessica, I just think it's too early to tell what their game plan is now. But they were so – I think they were just trying to cover their tracks because it was such a stupid, stupid mistake. But you can easily make that mistake in your first season. You know, you think you've got it wired and you're going to save that express pass, but it was really a dumb move. And I hope they learned their lesson. But I don't know. What do you think?
I don't really think much. I mean,
it seems
like, you know,
it didn't seem to me. It seemed like they were still pretty naive in this.
Yeah,
episode.
It was a foolish. Yeah, there was a foolish thing to do the first time around, and I think they were kind of nondescript this time. They came in what, eighth?
Yeah, but sometimes when teams are edited that way, there's a surprise coming later.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
What about Megan and Joey, Team YouTube?
Yeah, a little irritating, but I love watching them. I mean, I just think they're a little too. Again, playing a little bit too much to the camera. I mean, the scene in the dress shop and, you know, the wedding dress shop. And you'd think if they were so web savvy, they would be using the internet. Maybe they are. They're just not showing it. But you think they would have tried to use some technology to bring that into their game if that's their shtick.
Yeah. I was surprised that they had Joey go and do the thing. I felt like that was going to be, you know... I felt like we saw him scream so much the first time. I felt like, oh boy, he's not going to be able to do this. But you know, he did it. He did it.
Well,
and that's, you know, that high wire stuff is.
Yeah, he's good at flipping.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's light on his heels.
And let's see. And we talked only very briefly about Caroline and Jennifer. Did you like the song that they wrote about being on The Amazing Race?
A little bit irritating, sorry.
No.
I mean, they're great voices, yes. And I'm sure they're very talented in their field, but, you know, this is a race, not a not an audition.
Right. Same things. Bring in the clowns.
Yeah. I mean, win the race, and then you can, you know, use your money to further your career.
You could be America's Sweethearts later.
Did you guys?
There's
Luca. Go ahead. Yeah. Do you guys own any of Caroline and Jennifer's music?
What?
They have music.
No, I'm
honey, we have Sarah Vaughan's music.
Yeah. I think we're a little more classic.
We don't listen. We don't listen to living singers. We only listen to dead singers.
Yeah, we live in Honolulu. Sorry. We're not big country music fans. I'm sure they're wonderful. They weren't exactly in pitch either. I noticed. Right. I'm a singer. I've sung in my past, but they weren't exactly on pitch on that song. I don't know.
Still listening to Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald.
You know, one thing, going back to Joey, you know, one thing I'm looking at his age, you know, considering he's 22, I think he's doing a good job. You know, that to take on a race at a pretty young age is an amazing feat, because it's really mind-altering. And you know, thinking about that, that's pretty amazing.
All right, let's take a few more questions here with Team Guido. From Michael Gordon Martin, he wants to know, question for Joe and Bill, who do you guys think has the best chance of winning? I'm rooting for Dave and Connor, the Cowboys, and Flight Time and Big Easy. He's picking three teams he likes.
Yeah, he's spreading it out there.
Yeah.
Well, I think Dave and Connor is a good choice. I'm not so sure about Flight Time and Big Easy. And what was the third one?
The Cowboys.
Cowboys
got a very good...
The Cowboys chance. Have a good chance as long as luck falls their way, because there's so much of that involved too. When you get down to the last four or five teams, a lot of it's luck.
Like I said, I thought Nadia and Natalie were shoo-ins, and they were out the first. So
you're a strong team.
Actually no good judge of character there. So anyway.
Best of luck to whoever
I still
does.
I still like Luke and Margie, and we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
All right, Jessica, how about your questions?
My questions?
Yes.
Yeah. Can I have a glass of wine?
I'm gonna get a bottle. Look at the bottle.
Oh, Bill's gonna leave me here on my own. I can say whatever I want.
Oh
now.
Boy. Yeah. Don't hold anything back.
Okay. What do you want to know?
I got another one from the chat room. From
too late. Oh shit.
I'm back.
Okay. From Spicy Wasabi X wants to know. Gay teams have traditionally done well on the race. Why do you think that is? And who would win on an all-gay season of Chip and Riken, Danny and Oswald, Beekman Boys, Sam and Dan, and the Guidos? Oh, my God. The all-gay amazing race.
That would be fabulous, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
That would.
It would be a
fabulous
season, of course.
It would definitely be fabulous.
I don't think it's going to be Chip and Riken.
Oh, no.
I don't think they'll ever race together again.
Shoo-ins there. And,
no, they won't.
You know, the Beekman Boys, this is another example of surprising you. I mean, like, they were almost eliminated three or four times, especially considering that they can't swim. And they pulled it out, and they actually won the thing. It was just, I was shocked. So, but I think we would definitely be shoo-ins for the whole thing. Nobody's as nasty as we are.
What about the first part of the question of that? Do you think that gay couples tend to do better on The Amazing Race? And do you think there's a reason for that?
Focus, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it's. Go ahead, Joe.
I can't really say that we have. You know, there's any indication that we do better. I mean, some of us have done pretty well and stuff, but then other ones have like been eliminated really, really fast. So,
Team Bingo.
You know, there's really no rhyme or reason. You know.
Yeah.
There were two guys from San Diego just on the last one or two ago that were probably second out. I think I forget a lot of people. There's so many people have been on The Amazing Race that I've totally forgotten everybody's names. I mean, there must be like 175 couples. So it's really difficult to remember anybody's names actually. But you know, the two guys from San Diego, the two guys from LA, probably Amazing Race 6 or 7 or whatever. They didn't make it necessarily all that far, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, but as far as maybe an advantage is, I think communication is so important, and I think maybe in a couple, a gay couple or gay friends, there's a really tight bond for reasons that might sound sketchy, you know, and sounding biased. But I think maybe the relationship from a conversation and understanding the closeness of a relationship, be it friends or partner, might be a little closer and more understanding. So when you get into those tight situations, you can get out of them quickly and not, you know, get bogged down on an argument.
Okay. Let's take a couple more questions from Brian Scally. He wants to know, if there was ever a time to have a non-elimination leg, don't you think they should have it on the first leg of an all-star season? It would have given us more time to see our favorites. Would anybody have been pissed if it was a non-elimination leg in the first leg this week?
Oh, I think I would have been pissed.
Yeah, I think that's I don't like that either. I think you've got to have you have to cut somebody. Otherwise, it's
we cut Bopper. Bopper was cut.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. If they eliminated, if the team was gone completely.
Yeah,
but they didn't. They created a hybrid.
Remember the Amazing Race where somebody never left because they're you had like these things on the fence or whatever, and the one team didn't go at all. So they basically just went to Mexico and stayed like 40 days in a hotel. Yeah. I mean, that was probably the worst thing I think I've ever seen on an Amazing Race episode.
Yeah,
I felt so bad for those people, and it did nothing for the show. I mean, what was the point? You know?
Yeah. They've had hiccups along the way, like doing the family season and all that. They've learned a formula, just like Survivor has, to keep it fresh. And I think you have to eliminate somebody. There has to be a sense of urgency for the teams also.
Yeah.
You want to know that if you don't make it on time and get through the course quickly, you could be eliminated. That's in sense of urgency that really gets people's blood boiling.
And an alternate is add three more teams to the whole mix and then never have a non-elimination. Somebody gets eliminated every week. Or maybe two people get eliminated one week or something.
Wow.
You know, I mean, what would Survivor be like if somebody didn't get eliminated one week?
Yeah. No, it
doesn't
work. It'd
be the end of the program.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I feel like, didn't they do that a couple of years ago where they had a non-elimination leg in the first season? I feel like the season that Jenna and Ethan were on, did they do, was that 19?
Yeah, sort of. They had like a double elimination.
Yeah.
For Jenna. And
yeah, they did.
Yeah, but there was no elimination.
There was
in the
a
first
double
leg.
Elimination that time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was like it was an extended first leg or something. They haven't done that lately, where they keep running. You know, they don't eliminate them; they just give them a clue and they keep going.
Yeah, they did.
So that's kind of interesting.
Season 15 as well with the poker.
Yeah,
with the poker
players.
Usually, when I, you know, when you get through, you know, 42 minutes of this whole thing or whatever, and you're ready for somebody to go, and you think you know who it's going to be, and then it's non-elimination, I get really pissed off.
Yeah.
I want them to go. I want somebody to go. Even if it was me. It's time to go.
Okay.
Spill some blood.
Here's a question from Phil Gourlay. He has a question for Joe and Bill. What teams from season one and All Stars one do they still talk to? And any word on how Terry, Ian, and Emily are doing?
Emily is working and she's married.
Has a baby.
Yeah, and we send emails and talk on Facebook a little bit, and I still talk to Brennan and still talk to Frank, Margarita. Frank is remarried,
We talked to Karen.
Yeah, we talked to Karen. Yeah. The attorney, and Lenny on Facebook. Yeah, there's about half the cast we stay in touch with. Mm-hmm. You know, Nancy, Emily's mom died. Well, 2 years now, 3 years?
Yeah, 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Yeah. And
that's the other part of his question, so that he said he feels like Phil also says that he feels that it's bad that he still finds it sad that the race has never acknowledged Nancy's passing ever on the show, and she was a big part.
Yeah, I agree. Also Margareta.
Yeah, but let me tell you this. One thing that I really respect is, because I was really close on both of those cases when stuff started happening, and got in touch immediately when I found out with the producers of Bert and Elise. And I do know that they were in touch with the family and everything, and they did make contact and you know, they handled it in the way that was best for them. And I can't say what was what, but it would be nice at some point.
It would be nice if they just had like a one-minute memorial to them.
Or mention of some sort, because they were a huge part of the first season that launched the franchise.
And we loved them both, and we were really shocked by their passing.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah, because they were so kind to us. I mean, we weren't, during the editing of that show, we weren't in really good, in good stead with Nancy and Emily. And afterwards, Nancy and Emily came to spend some time with us in California, and we got very close with them. So it was they were good people, and it's just shocking with their passing. It's just amazing that you never think that this is going to happen.
All right, let's take one more question from Twitter from Mr. X. He wants to know, what location did you visit on your seasons that you're saddened the race hasn't visited since? Is there any place that you went to that you're disappointed they haven't gone back to?
Oh, yeah, Victoria Falls.
Yeah, and I would say Tunisia.
Yeah, Tunisia, but that's hard now because of the civil unrest there.
Yeah. But Tunisia was a really cool place for us. I had never been to the Arab part of Africa before, so I thought it was really, really interesting, and very, very nice people. Everything was positive for us. And then we also came in first that time. The only time we came in first place is in Eljeb.
Yeah, and that was without a fast forward. That's the first time that was ever done in the race history.
Yeah.
Every other first place in our season before that was with fast forward. Hey, the other thing is, you know, we were traveling pre 2000, September 11th.
Right.
And we went to some places that the race can't go now because of that. So that's part of that equation too.
Jess, did we have anything else from the episode this week that we didn't touch on?
No, I think we've pretty well covered it.
I've got one. Have you guys ever suffered from the world's biggest wedgie?
And why do you need to know?
No, and we definitely got tired of hearing about it, too.
Hashtag. Very popular on Twitter.
And shout out to Linda Holmes. I hope she's watching tonight.
Yeah, a lot of people were very excited that you guys were going to be on with us. People love that for the first season, so iconic, and it was really, really great to hear from you guys again.
Oh, anytime.
Nobody more than me. You guys were the first team I ever met at a TarCon, I think I was totally starstruck. I think I probably made an idiot of myself.
Well, honey, it's totally understandable.
Oh my god. Oh Jesus. Well, we're really happy to be here, and shout out to all the fans out there.
Yes.
The show wouldn't be the show without everybody out there, and we appreciate it. We're fans just like you are. So
God bless you all.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bless your hearts.
And follow Team Guido on Twitter as well, too, right, guys?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to be watching the show and chiming in every week, and we're happy to come back whenever you want us.
Oh, well, thank you guys so much. Very, very happy to hear you guys. I want to tell you guys real quick, everybody who's still watching, that we have a new sponsor that we're adding on Rob Has a Podcast, Tweaked Audio, which is great headphones. They gave me actually the ones that I'm wearing right now. Really great site for headphones. If you want to check that out at tweakedaudio.com, if you use the promo code RHAP, they'll give you 33% off on headphones. So they're really great prices and worldwide shipping for free. So wherever you're watching the show from, they will ship the headphones to you guys as well. And also check out our Amazing Race podcast feed of Amazing Race only in addition to our main podcast feed. We could really use your help with getting some feedback, comments, and ratings on iTunes. If you go to robasawebsite.com/TAR podcast, we would definitely appreciate you giving us some feedback because it helps other people find the show as well. All right. Next week, we'll be back on Monday. Jess, who are we talking to next week?
We're going to be talking to Jason and Amy from last season.
Oh, winners.
Winners.
Yes.
Okay. As opposed to losers.
Thank you.
No. As opposed to... I don't know how they could possibly top you guys.
Yes.
They'll try.
Well, maybe they could do with $1 million.
We'll be watching.
Yeah. All right, good. Very exciting. And if you want to get our new format down, so Jessica and I will be live. Well, we won't be live. We will be recording Sunday night. Jess, have you come up with a name? We know we've got a lot of suggestions from people on Twitter.
I think I'm going to have to narrow it down to some finalists and just put it to a vote.
We need a vote, yeah. So we do that, and then on Monday I will talk to, assuming it's an elimination, I will talk to the next team that gets eliminated from the Amazing Race. You can also check out my exit interview with Bopper and with the Twinnies on robaswebsite.com, and also check out Jessica's blog of winners and losers from week one of the Amazing Race All-Stars. Okay? All right, so everybody, thank you guys so much. Thank you, Jessica Frey, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.